AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
When I write y'all, all across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment.
Another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, and I have my homeboys here from the No Ceilings podcast. Mr. The number one contrarian in the world himself, Mr. Glasses Malone.
It's such an insult to my intellect when you reference me as a contrarian.
Well, you know what, man? I like calling you that, man, because I know how much it upsets you.
I understand. That's how I feel about that's how I feel. I got you. So I'll make sure to upset you.
It's either, you know, Mr. Contrarian or the evil genius.
Why? Listen, a contrarian disagrees with people just for the sake of it.
And that's you.
I don't. I think you just be saying some dumb shit sometimes.
No, well, that means that 99%, 98% of the world is saying dumb shit because you disagree with every motherfucking body.
Most well, they are.
Y'all is saying some dumb shit. Y'all saying what y'all be feeling. Y'all don't care about fact.
And my boy Peter Boss, the ginger man, the ginger man.
God damn. Rose
still hitting me with these slurs. Yeah. It's okay. 2023 and we still throwing slurs.
No, it's all good. It's all good because every girl I know, oh, that's so cute. He's so cute. He's nice and ginger. I'll be laughing.
Yeah, well, screw them too.
Rose Gold, Mr. Rose Gold. Mr. Rose Gold himself. Anyway, so you know the deal. Glasses called me yesterday, or actually a few days ago, and said, man, you need to watch this flick on Hulu. You know, I Found My Murderer. So I started watching a little bit of it, but really didn't get into it. You know, it was a Sunday night or whatever, and I think I was looking at something else that caught my attention. But once I did get into it, it was very interesting. Young lady, Nikki Kenhausen, from the Pacific Northwest, transgender person, she was missing, man. I thought it was an interesting story from the fact that all the details that emerged during that case, like she had got shot prior to that. Mm-hmm. And we had a couple of different theories on this. Me personally, if you notice, every time she got into something, she was always in somebody's car, which is a sign of prostitution to me, as always.
God damn it, Steve. You just... This is why I disagree with you all the time.
Well, see, we just having a conversation, bro. I wasn't there, obviously, so I could be wrong, but you know, she giving dudes...
Or anytime a woman get to somebody's car is prostitution.
No, man, if you in the back of the, you know, somebody's back seat giving...
That's how LAPD viewed my car.
Or either those guys don't have very much respect for them.
What? Of course.
Well, I think the circumstances were kind of pretty clearly indicated in that scenario. And I don't think it was prostitution in her case.
Yeah, I don't think it was prostitution.
You know,
So listen.
Hold on one second, G.
Well, let me say it because it's important. You
go ahead.
You asking the crimees, as you refer to them. So it's a brand new television show on Hulu, How I Caught My Killer. And all of the episodes are based off of how the victim, you know, that was murdered did something that the police needed to use or the family needed to use to help them catch who killed the actual person. So it's really a dope idea, How I Caught My Killer, because when you think about that, it just sounds crazy. But when you watch the show, it's great. And I called Steele about the first episode. I actually hit Pete too, and I was like, yo, check this show out. And the reason I thought it was super interesting, Steele, for you is because we had did the pod on No Ceilings about transphobia. And the episode never came out. It's not like I don't want to put it out, but I think God doesn't want it to come out because I think he like you having your podcast and it can be like a problem. So I think God is stopping it because I've had really great podcasts that I've had to put out since. And like, I suspect me and the one me and Pete going to do next is going to be crazy. So, and I'm serious.
Oh, man, what did I?
No, I'm serious because it's like stuff keep happening. But long story short, I thought that was a dope episode because we talked about this. And you just be having these crazy views. Like, she got two guys' cars. So she's a prostitute, like that.
Well, I'm saying, you know, it could be plausible. I'm not saying she was because, again, I wasn't there. I don't know. Or it could have been a thing to where she got a bunch of roommates. She was a young, you know, she was a young girl. You know, so she was just hooking up with these guys, right? And so when the revelation came out that she had been shot previously, that lets me know right there one thing, that guy wasn't expecting what he received.
It really, as a crime, right? Because this actually is actually called the Nikki... Is it the Kuhnhausen or what housing?
I have to see it written down again.
I think
you know what it is, but it ended up changing the laws. It ended up changing the laws in Washington to where now, like at one time they had a rage that they allowed to, it didn't absolve you of crime, but it reduced murder down to like manslaughter. If you were in a situation where you was it involved with a transgender and you got, it got revealed to you, at like, you know, you didn't know what was going on and you realized this person was a trans.
Yeah.
And it allowed space for the conviction to not be as harsh because it is a lot. I couldn't imagine, you know, and this was a teenager. You're talking about a 17-year-old kid, you know what I mean? That's literally defining their sex. And throughout the whole show, they talked about that his name was Nicholas. He knew it as a child that he kind of felt he was a female. And soon as the opportunity presented itself, Nicholas, or and then became Nikki. Soon as the opportunity presented itself. And I was looking at a lot of the pictures in the shows. And yes, I'm staring at it because I know, because the show is telling me the story. But me, you, and Pete disagree that there's a belief in some sense of supreme masculinity that you could tell who's a tranny. And I'm like, that's not really how it worked. The females, right, as they start to kind of skew how they define beauty, you know, wearing all the makeup and the weaves, it's allowing a space to where men are getting more confused every day. Think about it, between all of the fucking BBLs, all of the weaves, all of the makeup, all this stuff, this is the perfect time for a trans person to pass.
And it is interesting, and that also they're the most talented in their field as far as hair, makeup, and fashion design and stuff goes. So you do have a lot of celebrity women who do have people from the trans community that manage their appearance in that regard. So it does bring more of a symmetry.
I think I disagree to a certain extent. I'm going to tell you why. I've always been able to tell who a woman is versus a someone, you know, pretending to be, you know, not saying, you know, a transsexual, a transgender person. There are certain telltale signs, like they have a neck, like, you know, guys, we have this, you know, our esophagus sticks out, right?
They can shave that.
Well, you know, they can shave it, or they either wear those things, you know, they wear those black things around their neck. So usually if you see somebody wearing one of them things, you might want to get a closer observation. And I think we live in an era now where you have to ask questions, bro, because the thing is, you're right, G. They do an immaculate job of turning some of these men into women. Some of them, if you look at a picture, you cannot tell the difference. You remember we had a photo that we had going around our group, G, maybe 5 years ago?
Yeah, I remember.
And it was like, which group are the women and which group are the things? Yeah. It's like, I feel bad for my kids now. I feel sorry for my sons. Dude, if you're not careful, you could possibly get duped.
I don't give as much credit to the trans community for it. I place blame on women. You know what I mean? Because...
Yeah. It's like, not that trans women are moving closer to women. It's that women are moving further from women.
Yeah. And going into a trans community beauty standard. So, but I thought it was interesting because it's one of those situations where people started referencing it like a hate crime. And I just thought that was crazy. I'm like, okay, for it to be a hate crime, right? It's like, I guess that's where I want to
talk about. Funny parallel for that.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I wanted to talk about, because is that really a hate crime? Did that person, did Nikki die because, you know, if Nikki was just a trans person walking down the street and the guy, what was his name?
David Boganoff.
Okay, so all David this Boganoff. Bragging, like David, if David was walking down the street and Nikki was walking down the street, would he had just killed her?
No. That's a hate crime right there.
That's a hate crime. But if you kind of, and this is where me and you disagree at a lot of times. And I tell you, it's a weird place to sit. If the whole goal of somebody that's truly a trans person in this position is they really believe they were born a woman. They really feel like they were a woman internally and they got blessed or they got cursed with the man's gender or the other way around, right? So I genuinely think a lot of the goals, now this could be not true, but I believe it to be true based off of what the mathematics is. They want to attract heterosexual males because that's what women attract. I mean, you don't see, like I said, you rarely see two studs together. I think they think that's gay. You don't rarely see two trans people together. You know what I mean? Like if you look, if any of it comes across your timeline or in your space, it's usually always somebody who looks like a regular person with someone from the trans community. You rarely, I can't think of a time where I've seen two trans people, like, is there a popular time where two trans people from the trans community were dating and they both had titties and dicks? You know what I'm saying? That shit don't really work out. So I think that's what I was telling you is important, that when you were saying it should be a law for people to have to disclose that. And I'm like, that kind of goes against what that person is trying to achieve or what they believe. And it's
what about a person's right as a heterosexual male to know what the hell is going on?
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just telling
real quick.
And this is what I hold on. Because you know I'm old now, Peter, so I got to get this off or I'll mess around and forget it.
No spring chicken either.
You know, I'll mess around and forget it. So this is what I'm saying, man. If I'm riding down the street and the police pull me over and I hand them my driver's license and it says that my name is Peter Boss, in reality, my name is Norman Steele, and they find out, hey, you have a fake license, what are they going to do? Are they just going to let me go about my way? They're going
to probably arrest you or write you a ticket.
They're going to arrest me or write me
a ticket. But if you lie to Pete and tell Pete your name is Glasses Malone, Pete can't do nothing to you. See, it's different when you're dealing with the law enforcement and when you're dealing with other civilians.
But you know, hold on. Peter can, in theory, do something. He can call and he can drop the dime and say, hey, man, this dude is out here impersonating my homeboy Glasses.
But so then he can
do something.
But long as he doesn't, long as the police... long as he doesn't do it to the police, it won't matter.
But it's only if you manifest it. It's only if you do it, like to a financial institution or a government institution. You can lie to socially all you want to.
And I feel like it's all about everyone. The trans community has the right to exercise their lifestyle and their choices. I have the right, just like you, just like Peter is a heterosexual male, to sleep with 100% women. To sleep with 100% women, you know what I mean? So it's like
can't sleep with 80% women.
No, man, it ain't no. I'm just saying, I'm not into that lifestyle.
But what lifestyle is it? As a transphobic person, right? And then you're not a transphobic person, right?
According to your definition, I'm very much
a transphobic. No, you keep saying you're not. So as a transphobic person. Transphobic.
If that's what it means, I don't want to sleep with a transsexual, that means I'm a transphobic. I'm very transphobic.
No, but
nothing against them. Nothing against them.
It's everything against them.
No, it's not. It don't mean I'm against them. See, I think.
They want to be treated like a regular woman. So it's not as like. They don't want to be treated. People don't. Now, listen, you can't speak for every last person. But from the general consensus that I got is they don't even like the title trans women. They want to just be women. And that's where it get crafty. So what I was asking you about is, because that space in Washington has changed now, right, where now you can't do it. Like now if somebody reveals to you, like, let's say if you meet a lady and you know, you feeling her, you think she cute, she all made up, and she start giving you head, right? She fellatio is happening in the car. And then you reach in her pants thinking you about to get cracking, you feel me? And you grab a handful of hot dog. If you snap and do something to her, now it just doesn't matter. There's like the passion part of it is gone. The betrayal part of it is gone.
Well, it's almost like a crime of passion.
Well, it used to be. They called it
where it's so overwhelming. It's like the guy, it's like almost the same impact as the guy that walks in from a hard day's work and find his best friend on top of his wife or whatever, right? He may snap and you know, whatever he got, if he got his pistol on him, he may draw down and kill both of them. Or he may
hit him with a lamp
to a bully, you know, a bloody pup or whatever. It's a crime of passion, bro. And my thing is this, right? We're in a really funny space in America, dude, to where everything you say can be misconstrued as you being a hateful person when it's not actually the case. But if you get your personal space violated, you have the right to feel the way you feel. Now, I don't condone nobody going out there killing nobody.
So, but that's what I want to ask you about, that crime element. Do you feel like, what should that crime be? If, like, let's say, you know, not you, but some guy is out there, you know what I mean? And, you know, he meet a girl, hook up with a lady, you know what I mean? And She giving him, you know, it's fellatio is happening. And he reaching her pants and feel a handful of hot dog and nah, didn't know. And let's say, he's, huh?
A kibasa sausage.
Sure, whatever. So he feels a handful of it. Mm-hmm. And he snaps, and let's say he just like punches her and she dies. Should that be second-degree murder, or should it be involuntary murder? Like, when does it become a space that you understand that people emotionally, like, that's a lot of people's most prideful thing, you know, their sexuality. You mean their masculinity. So if you violate that for a lot of people, like, that is, you know, serious. So I'm asking,
I think it should be looked at as rape.
I mean, it's...
Oh, I like that.
I think it should be looked at as rape, dude. I think just like if... if I impose my will on a young lady, if I impose my will on a woman, I'm going to jail because that's rape. They're
you know what it should be?
That should be looked at as rape.
Maybe I perhaps like statutory. Because statutory. You could be, to a degree, you know how they define statutory rape with a minor as, in spite of the minor having been willing, they were coerced because they lacked the capacity or whatever to make the judgment? If you are not afforded the appropriate information to make judgment on your terms, it could be perceived possibly in the statutory category.
That makes sense. But I think a person is very cognitive on whether they want to sleep with a transgender person, or some people just...
Well, if this is being predicated on the idea that it sprung on you and you don't know until the moment.
Yeah,
however,
I like that.
On the flip side, there's like, you know... There's not a lot of, like, passion crimes are still crimes. There are not a lot of examples that I can think of. I can't think of any. I mean, maybe perhaps a de-escalation of degree, but there's, other than self-defense, there's not really any, because it's very emasculating for some other man to come in and bust your wife down in your house. You can't do anything to either of them, you know? Like, that's highly emasculating.
They will charge you. They won't charge you with murder sometimes because of the heat of passion. They will say it's a voluntary manslaughter if you were to kill somebody in that situation. You know, the charges of killing somebody changes.
I think a lot of that is
how you dress it up, bro.
Yeah, a lot of that's determined by your district. If the DA thinks I'm not going to be able to for sure get 12 people to go along with this.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to say earlier is so far as the hate crime element goes, on the one hand, as you were saying, if Joe Blow sees a trans person walking to the sidewalk, doesn't kill that person. If Joe Blow has an experience or whatever where finds himself unknowingly intimate with one, then kills that person, the dependent variable is still that person being trans. Because if he found himself intimate with a woman, wouldn't kill the woman. Find himself intimate with a trans person, kills a trans person. So the variable is still them being the trans person. So you're likely there's a logical case for that being raped.
It's just like if a woman is raped.
That's what I was saying. That's my point. Out still, not to cut you off, big bro, but that's my point. I was gonna say that's why I think what Steele is saying is super duper important. Well, that
a lot of that's defense, right?
Because not defense. Y'all are both right. It should be charged as a crime. That's a real conversation that should be happening, to where if you do that to somebody and they have no idea, that should be considered rape.
But because
if somebody's raping you, now,
that's where I'm going to go.
Go ahead.
The pushback on that is going to be that you are then afforded a degree of self-defense. The difference in this scenario is the like imposition of physical threat and force disparity, you know? In a conventional rape scenario, the female is on the short side of force, so a forceful defense act is a means of preventing it from happening or continuing to happen, whereas it doesn't require physical force to prevent that from
happening or continuing to happen once you're made aware of it. At that point, it's purely just, it's more revenge driven than de-escalatory or safety driven. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but even in California, if someone's raping you and you kill them, you're still going to jail.
Yes, true. Interestingly enough, in California, you no longer have to disclose to a person that you're HIV positive if you intend on giving them AIDS sexually, whereas it used to be a murder too. So they decriminalized that. Yeah, it's a big step forward for the AIDS community.
So a person can be out there normally have AIDS and HIV and go sleep with somebody and not be held accountable for that.
Yes.
Well, we really have our priorities twisted in this country right now, man.
Well, that's per state still.
That's per state. That should be a national law, man. That should be a world. That should be a law.
No, but I don't think
you're allowed to enter a home if you know you have COVID without telling them, though.
No, the reason I'm saying that still is I think you're on to something. I think watching that whole show, that's the feel I got. Like, even when I was watching it, where, you know, they were talking about it and they were saying, I was like, damn, this is messed up. What happened to this little teenager? You know what I mean? A 17-year-old motherfucker and blah, blah. And then they go into the guy shot and she didn't want to tell who shot. I was like, oh, this motherfucker catfishing people. And motherfuckers is finding out and they're overreacting. You know what I mean? It's like you stole somebody's masculinity. And that's what it feels like. People are reacting. And, you know, and there was a part you talked about where her mom was saying, where Nikki's mom was saying, oh, well, you know, my daughter and your daughter, you know, my daughter, just because my daughter's trans. No, it's like if somebody's intentionally deceiving you, you know what I mean? That's where it starts to happen. And again, they taking something from you. Still, that we might need to really start sitting down and figuring out an agenda. Like, I might be transphobic, but I'm not against the trans community. But I think that should be a real thing, because you have to find some space to allow people to make choices, you know, as best as they can with as much information as they can. That's almost unbelievable. Exactly. That you can have HIV and it's not a charge. That should actually be a real serious case.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So,
How'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing we have to look at, too.
Well, I guess, and also HIV might not be the death sentence it once was.
I think that's also a major contributing factor.
I don't think nobody still want to catch HIV, even though you can live a whole lot longer.
It's my second choice.
You know, I think it's a horrible disease.
It's my second choice.
But you my know, second choice on a list of having it or not having it, I would choose not having it.
Not having it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? The one thing I found interesting, G, is that Nikki was shot. She was shot five times.
Once in the hand.
And she didn't report the incident. She didn't, you know, she didn't press charges, didn't tell. She said that guy would get his. Because I believe it was another situation of her doing something with somebody. And I think, because you know, the Pacific Northwest is like the Southwest. Everybody is walking around with a pistol.
I don't know so much about that.
I ain't going with that. But
no, but seriously, like, you know.
It's not that bad still.
No, not in urban counties. In urban counties.
Well, we're talking about, let's stay in the premise of where this show was at. They were in the sticks.
You're in Vancouver, Washington, which is adjacent. It's like Camden to Philadelphia. It's right on the other side of the bridge.
Super liberal.
If you were in East Washington or Eastern Oregon, totally different ball of wax than those parts of the state.
So you know, so she was shot, and I believe her thing was, well, I didn't disclose it to him. We got into a panic because he pushed her right out the car and got on.
To me, the only pushback I have on the situation from her conduct standpoint is just the fact that, like, I think in this case, given the behavioral pattern, her honestly being trans is incidental, and that if you're a teenager, particularly a minor type teenager, and you're meeting grown men off the internet late at night routinely, you're asking for it as a regular woman. Like, I mean, there's a girl I know to this day. I remember one time I met her out. I thought she was a college student because she said she was a junior. She turned out she was a junior in high school. She came back to my spot. I didn't mess with her because I was a little funny about it, and she was being kind of coy. And then she admitted it in the morning after we didn't do anything, slept in separate rooms. But if I picked somebody up off the internet and found out molested a minor.
The legal age of consent in Washington is 16.
Whatever. I'm just saying in general speak, you know what I mean?
No, like, I know, but I think what Steele is saying is really important at this point. Like that, okay. Yes, we have created a space for women to be unaccountable. We created that space. And yes. I blame men. We did it. And that's fine.
That's the main reason why I believe that trans women are women. Because they apparently don't want to be accountable. And women don't want to be accountable. So therefore, if they don't want to be accountable, they are a woman. It's a transitive property of basic algebra.
Yes, but still, no, what I was saying is, rape is important, even for that type of situation. That young girl tried to rape Peter.
Pretty much.
She limited the information she told him. She knew that he would think, she would not think. She tried to rape him. And if he would have went and participated, he would have got charged. And that's where I think it's important to where, because we are moving women into a space of equality, you know, not as individually, because I still don't hold women accountable, but they also have to treat me like I'm pretty much there to make sure they're okay.
Plus, technology's afforded a lot more ability for people to falsify their presentation in a million ways. Not only in this, in the trans way, but you could lie about your age, you can lie about your name, you can lie about anything about yourself, and then, you know.
I think especially in that case, you've had your sexual identity changed. I think if you don't let someone know, I think you should be charged with rape and you should go to jail. Just like Peter, I'm going to tell you what a slippery slope that is. Let's say that little girl felt dejected, because you know there are some women that are attention whores. They just, they love the attention of it, right? Let's say she got a wild hair up her ass the next morning and called her dad or called whoever. I stayed over this guy's house and won't do one. He made me, the police would have been over there and go, they would have been snatching you up out your house and leading you out in handcuffs down the street. And you would have had that jacket on you as being a rapist. And even though you ain't touched the girl, as soon as it got out, it's like us as men, we're automatically putting that, like we're automatically just guilty.
Well, you made the holding, you're a man, so you have
you're a man, so whatever you do, you're guilty. Yeah. How many times have we seen cases of women lying on dudes?
I'm not
going to jail. Hold on, listen, let me finish. Women going, you know, guys going to jail for years, dude, on some false stuff. And later on, DNA evidence comes up that absolves them of these crimes. They've lost their life. They've lost 15, 20 years, sometimes 30 years of their life already. They never get that back. But what I was saying before my internet went out, I think the loss of life is always tragic. I think that any violent acts against people of, you know, from the LGBTQT or whatever one of these anachronisms, you know, what it is, man, I think whatever they are, man, I think that's their right for them to do what they want to do. And I don't think I have the right, you or anybody else got the right to go out there and put hands on them for that. But if you're impeding on my space, you're raping me. If you're making me do something that's not my choice, I've been raped. So I should get the same justice that another human being would, the female gender. I think I should get the same rights. I think we should have the same rights.
Makes me think about that R. Kelly situation where you got girls that's messing with R. Kelly. Like, rape does have to start going another way. Like, rape is not just simply defined as this forcible thing. It also can be this coerced thing. So I think that's one of them situations. And I think in that particular TV show with Nikki, you know, I'd imagine that's what's happening. And her family knows that's what's happening. You know what I mean? They know that, you know, Nicholas was desperate to be treated like a woman. So they started conducting themselves as women.
And was feeling that way since she was a kid. They showed pictures. You see the picture of Nicholas at 4 years old, he had long blonde hair.
Yep, and lipstick.
And lipstick, and they said her, you know, her brother said that he would walk around the house in heels as a little kid.
They thought it was the mom's
clothes and everything. And you know, part of me made me think, because her and her mom was so close, it made me think that she had three sons, and maybe the mom was dressing that little boy up like that.
No, the brothers accused her, and the mom like, that's not me. She, you know, Nicholas is doing it himself.
That's what she said.
Yeah, exactly. So I generally think there are people who are born into that place to where that's just a wiring. I went on record with saying this. A snitch is worse than a pedophile, but the act of pedophilia is worse than the act of snitching. Does that make sense? You get what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
Like a pedophile is worse than a snitch, But the act of snitching, the act of pedophilia is worse than the act of snitching. Because I think, like, us three men, right? None of us, I've never saw an attractive five-year-old, you know, toddler. Never in my life. Just like as a man, I've never seen another man that was sexually attractive. I've never seen a five-year-old toddler sexually attractive. I've never seen a man sexually attractive. So if you see somebody like that and that person is sexually attractive, I genuinely think some people are just wired that way. Snitching is fucked up because you just a piece of shit and you choosing to be unaccountable for your own actions in a real form. So a snitch is worse than a pedophile, but the act of pedophilia is worse than the act of snitching. That makes sense.
I agree. Yeah.
I get it.
Now, crazy, it. But you know, it's a pedophile was working off wire. You know, they wired, you know, incorrectly. They're wired completely unique. None of us even think a five-year-old child is attractive. So we're not refusing some urges. How do you sexually find that attractive? Just like in that situation where, you know, like we talked about it earlier, where you was like, well, y'all both were saying, well, they wanted to sleep with trans. I'm like, I doubt that's what's going on. Now, I know there are some situations where that's happening. Some people, you know, are attracted to that specific lifestyle or whatever's going on there. But I don't think that's what's going on with most men. And I don't think most trans people's goal is to be the best trans woman. They actually want to compete in the space of just women. Think about it. They winning Women of the Year. They're not winning Trans Women of the Year awards. They're not winning Mrs. America, Mrs. Trans America. They're winning Mrs. America contests. They are pretty much coming into that space as just women. So well, I would imagine they want to be treated like women.
And I'll say this, as far as that competition goes, trans women are crushing regular women. They are on a far steeper growth curve if you were looking at a stock chart. And similarly, women who are trans and identify as men are doing a terrible job at competing against us real men. So I don't know what that says.
Yeah, exactly. You know, let me, I wanted to read something real quick that I discovered, and I sent it to you in glasses prior to starting the show today. Okay, a New Jersey trans prisoner who impregnated two inmates transferred to men's facility. So they're taking this transgender individual out of the women's prison, and they're moving to a men's facility because he's gotten two inmates pregnant. So there goes your theory right there. So a transgender inmate has been transferred out of the only women's prison in New Jersey after impregnating two female inmates. Demi Minor, 27, has been moved to the vulnerable housing unit at the Garden State Youth Correctional Facility, a prison for young adults ages 18 to 30, according to Dan Spiraza, New Jersey Department of Corrections spokesman. Spiraza confirmed there are three trans women housed in the youth facility's vulnerable housing unit, though the prison's general population houses only men. Minor's removal from the Edna Mahan Correctional Facility for Women comes just a year after the state reached a settlement with the American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey to house transgender inmates according to their gender identity instead of their sex assigned at birth. The facility currently houses 27 transgender inmates. Spiraza said decisions related to an incarcerated person's housing are made within the parameters of the settlement agreement, which requires consideration of gender identity and the health and safety of the individual. So Minor, who is serving a 30-year prison sentence for manslaughter, impregnated the fellow inmates earlier this year following consensual sexual relationships. So now, are they considered lesbians? Because they have.
They're part of the trans community. They're not okay. Lesbians.
Spiraza confirmed he added that even consensual sex between inmates is prohibited in the state. Last year, two inmates at Edna Mahan filed a lawsuit challenging the state policy and practice of housing some pre-gender confirmation surgery transgender women, adding that it violates their constitutional rights. So you got people that want to come in even before they get the surgery, like right when they're pre-op, right? In a letter from Minor, as a woman who is transgender, I truly fear what lies ahead for me. It's clear that staff have looked for some kind of security reason to kick me out of the only female correctional facility. Probably because you went there getting everybody pregnant. Minor wrote in the post, which was published Friday. They have thrown me to the wolves and expect for me to just give up. I am baffled and disgusted by this use of power, and I can only ask that the commissioner and governor's office please send me back. I don't deserve to be treated like this. So he want to have his cake and eat it too. He want to be in there and get all the pussy he can under the guise of him being a woman. So if he's a woman, he want to be treated like a woman. So he's a lesbian, transgender. I don't get it.
Those are separate points entirely. You can be transgender. Your gender identification and your sexual preference are not necessarily intransitively tied.
Exactly. See, this is confusing as hell.
My issue with this particular topic.
So you want to turn yourself to a woman to only to sleep with women. I don't understand it, man.
It's about how you feel in yourself, not about how you feel sexually. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
Like the thing that I don't like about that is that to a degree, the penal system has a lot of challenges in
way
its own.
Far behind.
And even if it's way far behind or not, it's there are a lot of challenges in that arena. You know, there's a lot of incentives to make your time easier. So what you have with that is you left the door open, which damages the trans movement's integrity, where you created a carrot, so to speak, for people to fake it to get easier time served. Like an Elizabeth Warren faking being Indian to get a promotion at Harvard. You know, it damages civil rights in some capacity that you have, or Rachel Dolezal. You know, you're faking minority status
100%
for a payout benefit.
But I don't even know if they're faking minority status.
I'm not saying she is, but there are scenarios where it's pretty obvious. I've seen some articles that's pretty obvious.
Let's stay on this transgender thing. Is that's right? The other stuff is a whole nother can of worms, right? See, this is my thing right here, and I am very confused right now, man. Like, now they're saying basically that pre-op people that, you know, haven't had the surgery that are really men. So what's to stop me from, if I go out and kill somebody and I want to do easy time, for me just putting on a dress and going to court and saying, well, I need to go to the women's prison?
Well, that one guy just did that.
Yeah.
Well,
but what's to stop that? Now I'm laid up in there in a prison full of women. I'm bigger, I'm stronger than everybody, because just because these people elect to change their sexual identity don't mean the fact that they don't lose their strength.
I thought you would appreciate this based off it's about how you feel.
Based on how you feel.
Yeah, because you like seem like we always talk, you always have more like a respect for the emotional standpoint. You think I'm a contrarian because I'm like a X's and O's guys, and you like a feeling. This has nothing to do with feeling.
This is very much a physical thing, because men are stronger than women. So you want to house bunch of dudes in dresses because they have on a dress.
That's not what I'm saying. See, the trans part of you has nothing to do with your physical being. It's all inside. It's emotion, how you feel. It's internal.
So and this guy was a lesbian then. So he was a man. So when he was born, he felt lesbian, and my thing is I want to sleep with women, but I have to be a woman to do it.
So who you attracted to don't determine your gender.
Yeah, that would be to suggest that people's gender identification is based off of their end game goals for sexual intercourse.
That's not quite so much.
His end game goal obviously was to get some cat.
I don't know if that was his end game goal.
He don't got two women pregnant in prison.
He might have also not gotten the shit beaten out of him or her 15 times like otherwise would have happened.
Sure, if you put him in a regular prison with men, getting raped and beat up.
Yeah.
And getting beat up and then getting raped.
Because he didn't have to rape nobody. That means somebody got at him. He probably was in there getting paid for it.
I mean, he got a dick in a woman's prison.
That's what I'm saying. He might have been
getting
paid
for it. It's just like his pussy in a woman. Imagine a transgender man inside of a man's prison. Like, you know how many scoops they get for that pussy?
He would be a pack of cigarettes.
You know how many soups is Aryan interest? 15 bucks.
See, I'm so confused, man. Like, even me looking at that show last night, I was confused because what was the little fat dude that had the haircut? Was that a man or a woman?
That was a gentleman by choice.
A gentleman by choice.
I was a transgender man.
So if I go out somewhere, let's say I'm at a restaurant, and one of them studs say, "You looking at my girl and swing on me and hit me in my chin." Now he's a man. He wants to be treated like a man. And I pound his ass out there, whoop his ass. I'm going to jail for whooping on a woman, even though he started and hit me first.
A stud is not a transgender man. It would have to be if a transgender man did that.
A stud is a lesbian.
Yes.
So a transgender man, if I whoop a transgender man's ass, I'm going to jail for beating a woman. That's what they go say.
That would be interesting. That would come probably down to the victim if they didn't want to be.
It just depends.
Perceived as such.
You can't go to jail for whooping a woman on the street. What is it? What's the crime except assault? The only thing you can be charged with is the same way.
We are in trouble.
You can get charged with assault for beating up a man just like a woman.
If your woman
is different, it's a different charge. Yeah. But I'm saying if you just beat up a woman on the street, it's just assault.
So the truth is, if you beat up a trans man or a trans woman, it's not going to be perceived based off of the.
Yeah, it's not going to be a hate crime.
Objective or subjective. It would be a hate crime because they are trans, not.
Like if you kick
how it manifested because, in what direction or otherwise.
If you kick their ass because they were true.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia, starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, let me ask you this, with this David guy, he wound up getting 20 years. The family thought that sentence was way too
high. That's all he got? Dang.
Yeah, I think he should have got more time than that because...
No, I think it's fair.
You think it's fair? But you know the thing, UG, my only thing with that guy was he lied.
You got to lie.
Well, I would have told the truth from the beginning. I would have went and turned myself in from the beginning.
I don't even want nobody. This man ain't got head from a trance. I don't want nobody to know that if that accident
happened.
That
dude wasn't, and you know, the interesting thing, see, that guy didn't have no criminal record. His family was well-to-do. They owned a construction.
That's part of why he got 19 years.
You know, 19 years, man. That's, you know, Peter, you know, it's funny how we say stuff in a long time. That's, I bet you he thinks it's a long time.
That's what's such a like illogical manifestation of the thought process. Like, let's say hypothetically, because I assume most of this is public perception and reputation driven. You know, if you knew for sure that's not what you thought it was going to be, and you made a mistake and whatever else, and no one was ever going to know about it in 100 years, you probably aren't going to act that way. It's probably the fact that you don't want everybody you know knowing that. Which is interesting because it's like...
It depends on what kind of person Nikki was. Nikki didn't say... You know, I watched...
It doesn't. You could be independently paranoid.
I watched 5 episodes of that show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every victim, they paint them out like they're just this sweet person. That's just bullshit. Some of these motherfuckers is crazy. And Nikki could be one of the motherfuckers that didn't mind. It's a lot of... Like, me and Steele talk about this. Now, it's not a lot. But there are certain people who want to change people.
Yeah.
And they want to be treated like a woman. I still do not believe that man knew that Nikki was a trans. I genuinely believe that's why you react that way.
I
can see if they had a relationship where Nikki was like, I want us to be in a relationship. They went through her phone and she was like, you need to be with me.
What if in the moment Nikki responds poorly and lobs a soft blackmail threat to out him out there?
Once you blackmail, ain't no such thing as soft. It's on.
Sure.
If you don't let me suck your dick again, I'm gonna tell everybody. Because the reality was,
I'm just asking.
They said he did reach in the pants and grab sausage.
I'm just asking as far as a rationale standpoint goes. You know, if that was the case, and you're concerned now about reputational risk, the reputational risk being that you are alienated. I guess at worst, you are alienated from your friends and family as a result of this.
Okay, is it just me? But can you not tell that this is a man?
Listen.
I'm asking Peter. Peter, do you think this, if you saw this individual right here, would you think that was a woman? I would say the one, the individual staying to the left is a female.
What if it was a man?
Right here, he looks like a guy that's got a makeup on and some stitches there.
Okay, so what if the one to the left is a trans? Because the one to the left is a trans.
Well, see, if the one to the left, this girl right here is a trans?
Yeah. Look, you just got it wrong.
That's a woman right there. That's a woman. She's not a trans. You're making up stuff.
Look. Now you look and look how confused you look. Look at you reading the title because you don't want to
just say. Dario Fox is not that was a young lady, dog. That's
look,
not a girl.
Look at you. But
that's not a man. This is the man. I could tell this is dude.
Pull up Tarana Burke.
Ariel Fox sounds like a made up name.
Exactly. That sounds like a trans. Pull up Tarana Burke.
Anything with Fox in it is made up. No one ever has the last name Fox. Even Rick Fox made up his last name. And
I don't even care what anybody says.
This might be a dude right here because look at the neck right here. Hold on. Look at the neckline. Look right here.
This is
the giveaway, right? Dead giveaway.
That's not how that works. You got super old school. You could tell you grew up in the school
of proud, man. I don't give a damn. I'm tired of damn tiptoeing around this bullshit, dog. Let's call it space.
You grew up like a nigga right here. Let's say you could tell you grew up in the 70s because all your shit is old school thought.
What's the other individual's name?
Nick.
Oh, Tarana Burke.
How you spell her first name?
Tarana. TARANABURK. Burke.
Who's that? Who's Tarana Burke?
I'm just going to show him something. And then bring her up on the screen.
Oh, that look like
he looks just like Chris.
That's a nigga right there. All day.
That's a woman,
man. That's not man. This
that's a woman.
No. That's Buster Douglas now.
That's a woman, boy. Well, I just think she. Ugly,
you can't say that. You can't say that as a white person. You can't say that.
Man, this is an ugly.
That's Buster.
I don't give a damn.
Well, you are a white comedian. That's Tarana Burke. That's not no man. That's a woman.
But she's an ugly ass woman.
But see, that's my point. You cannot say that. Like, it's not about if you don't find somebody visually pleasing. That's what I'm saying. It's getting to a space now where
it don't matter how visually pleasing. It don't matter how visually pleasing
to you
someone may be. It's like the thing is, don't nobody want their sex played with all these little sex games people out here playing with people. Dog, it ain't cool. It's not cool.
I'm man, not saying it. Off, I'm man. Just saying it's just.
I don't know what Tarana Burke is, but she's an ugly ass woman.
Tarana Burke is the reason she's pretty much the leader of the Me Too movement. So you know you just good as cook. You can call this lady a man.
We're finished.
So she might be able to whoop all our ass.
She ain't whooping my ass. I'll go fuck if she was a nigga.
What's she gonna do? Hide us in one of them craters on her face? Her
she egg. Knocked out Mike Tyson in Tokyo. You don't stand a prayer.
I will kick her and KRS one ass.
Yeah, what is she going to do? Is she going to hide us in one of them craters she got in her face and imprison us?
Bro, stop doing that. That's not even cool, bro. You just fucked up. You really a nigga that grew up in the 70s?
Man, I was a little baby in the 70s, dog.
You was just raw, though, dog. You just raw.
You were never a little baby. You were 6'4" in the third grade. Stop it.
Man, and I love everybody.
You were born at 5'5".
People it is.
You just called Tarana Burke a man.
But she's not my taste. It might be a motherfucker that thinks she's beautiful. It ain't me, though. That bitch ugly. That bitch is ugly motherfucker, dog.
Thanks for fading the heat off of me.
This makes Whoopi Goldberg look like a motherfucking queen. We can't go nowhere. You know, if it's our contract, we got a thing. Where's his ass go? Tell Z to bring his ass back in here.
How? He's gone. I can't talk to him anymore.
Yeah, but man, you know, the thing is, bro. It's like this, man. My apologies to Tarana Burke, but she's not my cup of tea. She may not think I'm no prize my damn self, but she tore her back, though.
I would just say this to anybody who's like, might be the type to get caught up in a situation where you end up doing something like this guy who got convicted on this crime. If you're mad that your life is going to be irreparably damaged by that having happened or by you having been involved in that either willingly, knowingly, unknowingly, or unwillingly, your life is going to be damaged considerably more by years and years and years in prison. Like, for real.
It's
an odd cost benefit.
You tell the truth, man, and I really believe, man, I know a guy, that's the road I would probably take, dude, versus me going to jail. Because you kill somebody, you're going to jail.
If you beat the shit out of somebody and get an escalation, you're going to get goddamn near murder years. The difference is going to be about 5 years.
I am secure enough in my... First of all, I'm glad. Thank God I'm happily married, dog. But I am secure enough in my sexuality, dog, to where if a motherfucker played with me like that, I would go to court and I would make a motherfucking stand and say that this motherfucker raped me.
Let me ask you a question hypothetically. Mm-hmm. And this is ultra hypothetical, obviously, it's based on the question. If you got caught up and messed around and had some like undercover boyfriend for like the summer and got found out about it,
Just you know, ultra
you hypothetical. You had an undercover boyfriend, so you need somebody doing something willingly?
Yeah, just hold, let me finish. If you hypothetically had that going on and you really didn't want anybody to find out about it, and let's say hypothetically that it just all blows up. The guy just shows up right at the front door and just airs you out all over the internet and television and everywhere else they can possibly go.
Because I made the choice. I was sneaking around doing some shit and I got caught.
Yeah, all I'm going to ask is how long is the damage of that going to last in your life versus how long versus 15 years? That will die down in 6 months to a year. Whereas the trouble you would get in for doing something to prevent it from happening will outlast that exponentially.
Yeah, see, now I think all those guys, Peter, that do things and they fulfilling some little secret fetish that they may have within them, and they out there fulfilling that fantasy and they don't want to get caught, they damn sure don't need to be putting their hands on nobody. They need to just live with it because it's a choice they made. Now, the guy that had no clue on the situation he was stepping in, I truly believe that individual should be charged with rape and they should go to jail, just like a man would, because you're getting with somebody under a false pretense. You're not telling somebody the whole facts. You know what I mean? That's almost, you know, just like that. You said they rescinded the law about someone with who's HIV positive sleeping with somebody. That should be murder, dude. That should be attempted murder. You should go to jail.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
In both cases, I think you should go to jail, man, because I think right now, man, we're really in a dangerous time, man, where really anything that you say, even if you have an opinion, like me, I just said a woman was ugly. They can come back and say I committed a hate crime. I don't have nothing against one of my, and I don't mean to sound cliche, but I have a friend right now that's one of my best friends, and I love her unconditionally, dog. She's a lesbian. One of my best friends is a lesbian female, dog. I don't care about people's sexual preference. I just think when you get to imposing your will on people, whether that's a man imposing his will on a woman or a transgender person imposing their will under some kind of false pretense on another individual, I think it's the same shit, dog. I think it needs to be punishment for that. And I don't think that punishment is necessarily putting your hands on a motherfucker. We got to start doing stuff the right way, bro. We got to start really doing stuff the right way. If somebody going to police saying, hey, this individual right here, this is the story. She came to me and had me under the assumption that I was messing with a woman and really it was a transgender person. It can ruin my reputation. It can ruin my life. I that can really fuck somebody up, bro.
Yeah, no, it absolutely could. And at the same time, it's not a situation that warrants, to me, an immediate violent response, because you can stop the situation from going any further as a grown man just by stopping and leaving. You know, you're free to do that. So it's wrong for the perpetrator, but it's not the same cup of tea as like a male female rape scenario where the woman might need to shoot the guy to get him to stop.
100%, bro. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, you make decisions. It's just like, it's the same discussion we had, man, where somebody was asking me, because I think we all got those key words, like, if a person invited me to their dick, if they call me a bitch, if they call me out my name, we go have to squabble. But if I'm with my wife and I'm with my children around, I know how bad things can get. I'm going to walk away from it, because at the end of the day, who gives a fuck? As long as he didn't put his hands on me. You feel what I mean? As long as you don't put your hands on me, it's like it's whatever. Because we gotta get out of the silly shit, dude. We gotta get out the silly shit right now. And I think that we in a real bad place in America right now, because it's almost like, man, it's getting to the point to where I think eventually they just gonna be seeing everything as a hate crime.
It's getting to that point. Because even
with some of the stuff, now don't get me wrong, the police, man, have done some heinous acts, man. They've committed some heinous acts against the black community. No one is disputing that. We all see that every day. But I see these times, man, where a brother get pulled over and he acting the fool. The police is being cool. The brother is combative right off rip, not letting his windows down, not turning his car off, just making the policeman hella uncomfortable. Because if I'm a policeman, dude, it's already stressful enough. You don't know if a motherfucker is on his third strike or not. You don't know if this dude got a big-ass hammer waiting on his lap when you come over there to give him a ticket. You don't know what situation you're walking into. So that makes a person even more nervous. You think about a cop as a human being, just like, you know, as a normal person like we are. So you're in this situation now to where you're dealing with this dude and you don't know what he's willing to do to get away.
You're walking up to the unknown. Like, they can see you walk up to the car. You can't really see what's in the car until you're there.
You have no clue if this dude ain't got a big ass 4 or 5 on his lap waiting to send your ass to the next dimension. You just don't know.
There's a lot of problems.
So it's a lot of shit going on, man. But I appreciate it. Go ahead, Peter.
I was gonna say, I think a big issue in the country is sentencing for stupid shit is forever. Like, I honestly am, I would be more comfortable getting into a fight somewhere with a dude that I know is a for real, just like for real gangbanger, who's probably going to beat my ass, and just taking that, then going to like the bar around the corner on the beach on the boardwalk in Fort Lauderdale and beating the dog shit out of like nerdy white guy, whatever, because I would rather deal with getting my ass beat than beat the shit out of somebody and catch 36 months for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm more concerned with winning than losing.
Yeah, for real. So, man, Glasses came back in the room. Now he ran away from me because, see, Glasses is scared of that Tarana Burke lady. I ain't scared of her ass.
I'm terrified.
You know, because I didn't say nothing wrong. I didn't say nothing wrong, man. I don't have to find her attractive. I don't have to find her attractive, man.
Yeah, that's true. You did drop some bars, though, that were pretty decent.
Well, man, we will go ahead and shut this down, man. We appreciate you guys checking in with us again. Make sure you like, leave a comment, rate the show. Tell me to kiss your ass, whatever it is you go do. Hey, Glasses.
Man, you trying to get some shit.
Were you scared, man? Why did you run?
Because you talking about that sister like that, man.
Man, it don't have nothing to do with her. I love my sister.
Glasses. Like, I thought that was that Burke lady had cut her hair.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's Glasses after all.
I'm not fucking with y'all.
Actually, she looked like K-Boy.
I'm not fucking with y'all. Whatever y'all got going on, I don't want no parts of it.
Stop being so scary, man. We ain't said nothing. That's the problem with America, man. We ain't said nothing that got to do with nothing.
Still,
with
I'm a Crip. And I've literally been open enough to say I'm transphobic. It's not about fear. I just don't want no smoke with that lady because that lady ended R. Kelly's career.
She is, I'm not R. Kelly. I haven't done nothing wrong.
You just said she was a man.
I said she was ugly.
No, you said she was a man first. Then you went on to say how ugly she was.
Well, they can rewind and hear what I said. I said I didn't know where she was. We was talking about transgender people, and you asked me to go there.
No, the point I was making was, it's like, it's hard to just say what someone looks like. Like, yes, in theory, we would like to believe if we saw a trans woman, we would all be able to identify. The reality is, now that women are literally following the beauty standards of the trans community, it's harder to tell. And I'm saying I could show you women, right, that you will question, are they women? And I can show you some trans women that you might confuse as women.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeartMedia Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk.
get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.